Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, this is the fifth episode of the narrative that we were discussing regarding the revelation of the Quran on the seven Ahruf, and this is actually the 17th topic. In this session, we shall take up some of the other remaining interpretations of the Sabat Ahruf narrative, and then in the next session, inshallah, we shall go on to look at some of the other aspects. In this regard, we have already discussed five different major interpretations of this narrative in the previous episodes. The sixth one and the seventh one shall be taken up today. As far as the sixth interpretation is concerned, viewers, it relates to the fact that the seven ahruf, according to certain authorities, mean seven synonyms of the Quran or seven similar words of the Quran. Thus, Zarkashi and Suyuti have recorded that authorities like Abdullah ibn Wahab, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Ibn Jarir, Tabri, and At-Tahawi hold that the seven ahruf refer to similar words of the Quran, synonyms, and they have actually given examples like the word ta'al, halumma, ajil, and asre. So these are actually synonyms of a single word which means to come, and according to these authorities that these words can be substituted for one another. Imam Malik and Imam Shafi and Imam Ibn Taymiyyah also ascribe to this view. And Imam Ibn Abdul Bar says that a large number of scholars actually hold this view. So you can see the preponderance of scholars and very famous and worthy names who uphold this view that actually the Quran could be substituted or similar words could be substituted, and these similar words went up to seven. Now, there's also a further difference of opinion amongst our scholars. According to our scholars, this permission was granted by the Prophet to various tribes so that they could read the Quran with ease by substituting words which were more familiar to them. And once they got used to the tongue of the Quraysh, this permission was actually revoked. So they are of the opinion that this permission was actually revoked. Zarkashi says that in the opinion of Al-Baqilani, Ibn Abdul Bar, and Ibn al-Arabi, this permission was revoked within the lifetime of the Prophet in the Al-Arda al-Akhira. So these three authorities say that although people were allowed to read the Quran on synonyms so that each tribe could read or substitute a word which it was more used to, but once people got used to reading the Quran and they got used to the dialect of the Quraysh actually, then this permission was revoked within the lifetime of the Quran, of the Prophet, and it took place during the Arda al-Akhira. However, Ibn Jarir Tabri is one exception to this, and he says that it was revoked in the time of the Caliph Usman, when great differences arose in reading the Quran. Scholars have also tackled the question of whether these substituted synonyms should have a sanction of the Prophet or not. So if we have to substitute one word for another, do we have the authority to do it ourselves, or do we have to rely on the permission of the Prophet regarding specific words? According to Ibn al-Hajr, both opinions exist. In support of the former is the hadith of Umar and Hisham ibn Hakim ibn Hizam, in which the differences in reading were sanctioned by the Prophet. So similar words, if this interpretation is to be taken into account, then it would mean that Umar and Hisham were actually reading the Quran they had in mind differed in the fact that similar words were different in their minds. So the person was reading the same meaning with synonymous words. So this is what Ibn Hajar has posited in this regard. And as far as the other opinion is concerned, it is evidenced by the fact that in the narrative recorded, if you recall, I had referred to the fact that it was stated that Ibn Masud read At-Tahin instead of Hat-Tahin. He actually read At-Tahin or At-Ta'in, as another variant says. So in this regard, he was allowed to actually substitute Ha for a Ayn, and this goes without any sanction, and it was just his personal preference. So I will now come to the basis of this view, that what has led our worthy authorities to regard this particular interpretation to be the correct one vis-a-vis this narrative. Now, in this regard, the first thing is the narrative that I'm going to read out before you. This is recorded in the Musnad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and this hadith is presented as evidence by Ibn Abdul Bar, Zarkashi, and Suyuti, and Tabri. Although the chains are different, but all these people actually say that this is the reason why they believe that the Quran could be read in synonymous words. So, as I said, this narrative has been recorded by Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad. And the words are, "An Abi Bakr anna Jibril alayhi salam qala ya Muhammad iqra al-Quran ala harfin qala Mika'il alayhi salam istazidhu fastazadahu qala iqra'hu ala harfain qala Mika'il istazidhu fastazadahu hatta balagha sab'at ahruf qal kullun shafin kafin ma lam takhtim ayat azabin bi rahma aw ayat rahmatin bi azab nahwa nahwa qawlika ta'al wa aqbil wa halumma wazhab wa asri wa ajil." So Abu Bakr says that Gabriel said, "O Muhammad, read the Quran on one harf." Michael or Mikhail told Muhammad to ask for an increase in this. So he asked for an increase. Gabriel then said, "Read the Quran on two ahruf." Michael told Muhammad to ask for an increase in this. So he asked for an increase until the matter reached seven ahruf. Gabriel said, "All verses are enough and sufficient as long as a verse of punishment is not ended with mercy and vice versa." And these variations are much like saying, "Ta'al, aqbil, halumma, izhab, asri, and ajil." Which of course, these are the words which are all synonyms, and they connote the same broad meaning of come. Or it's an imperative, it's a command to say to come. In this regard, viewers, the second narrative which is held as the basis of this view is recorded by Abu Dawud in his Sunan, and this hadith is evidenced by Ibn Abdul Barr and Suyuti in support of this view. And the words are, "An Ubayy ibn Ka'b qal, qala an-nabi ya Ubayy inni uqra'tu al-Quran faqila li ala harfin aw harfain faqala al-malak allazi ma'i qul ala harfain qultu ala harfain faqila لي فقيل لي على حرفين أو ثلاثة فقال الملك الذي معي قل على ثلاثة قلت على ثلاثة حتى بلغ سبعة أحرف ثم قال ليس منها إلا شاف كاف إن قلت سميع عليم عزيز حكيم ما لم تختم آية عذاب برحمة أو آية رحمة بعذاب." So this is very similar to the previous narrative, and we can see that Gabriel had asked the Prophet to read the Quran on one ahruf, and we can see a prompt, although Mikhail is not named here, but in the previous narrative it is clearly evident that he is the person who is actually advising the Prophet that instead of reading on one harf, please request for more huruf to be added, and until the matter reaches seven. And then it is said that as long as the verse of mercy and punishment are not substituted, it is okay to substitute words of similar meaning. Viewers, the third narrative in this regard, which is evidence as a basis of this interpretation, is recorded by Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad. And this hadith is evidenced by Suyuti. Tabri has also presented a similar hadith as evidence. And it may be noted that while explaining the purport of the above quoted hadith, Ibn Abdul Barr says that it is not that verses were actually read by varying the attributes of God, as the hadith seems to imply. These are only hypothetical examples. So what Ibn Abdul Barr has actually said is that it is not that you should actually change. It is not that he is presenting a literal report, but he's saying that it's like saying that similar words can be substituted, but this is not an actual happening. So this narrative, as I said, was recorded by Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, and it is reported thus. عن أبي طلحة عن أبيه عن جده قال قرأ رجل عند عمر فغير عليه فقال قرأت على رسول الله فلم يغير علي قال فاجتمعنا عند النبي قال فقرأ الرجل على النبي فقال له قد أحسنت قال فكان عمر وجد من ذلك فقال النبي يا عمر إن القرآن كله صواب ما لم يجعل عذاب مغفرة أو مغفرة عذاب. So Ishaq narrates from his father, who narrates from Ishaq's grandfather, a person read out a verse before Umar, who corrected him. The person said, "I have read this out before the Messenger of God, and he did not correct me." He said, "We then came over and gathered before the Prophet." That person read out the verse before the Prophet, who said, "You have read it correctly." So the words are, "Qad ahsanta." Umar was disturbed at this. And the Prophet said, "O Umar, all what you read from the Quran is correct as long as punishment is not changed with mercy and vice versa. So a very similar narrative you can see, which is very similar to the previous ones. And this is, as I said, one of the narratives which is presented by the proponents of this view to induce the fact that the Quran, when the Sabat al-Ahraf narrative actually refers to seven synonyms. The fourth basis, viewers, is also recorded in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and this hadith is also presented by Imam Ibn Abdul Barr as evidence in support of this view. So the words are, قال حدثني أبو جهيم إن رجلين اختلفا في آية من القرآن فقال هذا تلقيتها من رسول الله وقال الآخر تلقيتها من رسول الله فسأل النبي فقال القرآن يقرأ ولا سبعة أحرف فلا تمارو في القرآن فإن مراء في القرآن كفر. So Bishr ibn Sa'id says that Abu Juhaym narrated to him, two persons differed in reading a verse of the Quran. One of them said, I have learnt this verse from the Messenger of God. And the other said, I also have learnt it from the Messenger of God. So both of them came over and asked the Prophet, who replied, the Quran has been revealed on seven ahruf, and do not fight about the Quran, because this is disbelief. So although this verse, although this narrative is not very explicit, but Ibn Abdul Barr has said that actually it refers to the fact that when two people read the same portion of the Quran, they probably differed in synonyms, and the Prophet actually ratified both of them, that is, both of them are correct, and people should not dispute in the Quran, and they should not fight one another in this matter. The fifth basis, viewers, is recorded by Imam Hakim in his Al-Mustadrak, and this basis is also a hadith which is presented by Ibn Abdul Barr as evidence in support of this view. So this narrative actually is from Abdullah bin Masood, and who says, "An Abdullah, it is reported by him that An Abdullah radhiyallahu anhu qala aqra'ani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam surah Hamim wa ruhtu ila al-masjid ashiya fajalasa ila ruhtun fajalasa ilayya ruhtun faqultu li rajulin min ar-ruht iqra' alayya fa idha huwa yaqra'u hurufan la aqra'uha." فقلت له من أقرأكها قال أقرأني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فانطلقنا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإذا عنده رجل فقلت له اختلفنا في قراءتنا فإذا وجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد تغير ووجد في نفسه حين ذكرت له الاختلاف فقال إنما أهلك من قبلكم الاختلاف ثم أسر إلي علي فقال علي إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمركم أن يقرأ كل رجل منكم كما علم or it could also be read as كما علم فانطلقنا وكل رجل منا يقرأ حروفا لا يقرأها صاحبه. So Abdullah bin Masood narrated, the Prophet read out Surah Hamim to me, and I went to the mosque at night, and a group of people sat near me. I then asked one of them to read out the Quran to me, and to my surprise, he read out in huruf which I did not read. So I said to him, who read this out to you? He said, the Messenger of God read it out to me. So we went over to the Messenger of God, and there was a person in his presence. And I said, and this person, viewers, as shall become evident from the later part of the narrative, is actually Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So, and I said, we have differed in our reading. At this, the color of the face of God's messenger changed, and he got disturbed when I mentioned about this difference. And then he said, it is such difference that has killed those before you. And he whispered in the ears of Ali, who said, the Messenger of God has directed each person to read according to what he has been taught. So we went away, and each of us was reading the Quran differently. So this is something even more blatant, that people were differing. And since people think that this difference could not have been in words, so these authorities actually see that if this difference is to be regarded as difference among words, then it was relating to synonyms, same words of the Quran. It could not have been different words that people were uttering and therefore differing in one another. So viewers, these are the narratives, and as you can see that there are five of them which are adduced by our worthy authorities in support of the view that the Quranic words can be substituted one with the other, although as we have seen that one group says that this substitution was revoked within the lifetime of the Prophet, and another group says that it was revoked by Usman in his own lifetime when differences in reading the Quran arose. Now, viewers, besides these narratives which are ascribed to the Prophet himself, which go back to him, we have certain asar also of the Sahaba, which have been used by our authorities to adduce this view. I'm now going to read out those asar also. So the first of them is cited by Ibn Abdul Barr in his At-Tamhid, and he presents this as an evidence of this his view. And the words are, وَرَوَى وَرْقَعَ عَنِ ابْنِ أَبِي نَجِيحٍ مُجَاهِدٍ ابْنِ عَبَّاسٍ عَنْ عُبَيْ ابْنِ قَابٍ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقْرَوْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمَنُونَ زُرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَمْهِلُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَخِّرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُرْقُبُونَ. So the actual verse of the Quran, which is found, is actually لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُنْزُرُونَ. So أُنْزُرُونَ is the word which is presented here, and it means actually to give regard to us. So it is said that Ubay ibn Ka'ab used to read the verse as amheluna, akhiruna, and urqubuna. So these are the words he would substitute actually for unzuruna. And this clearly shows that according to these authorities, that since Ubay would read these words, this verse by substituting these words, so therefore he actually was being allowed, or he was actually using this permission to read the Quran on synonyms. The second example, viewers, this has also been quoted and cited by Ibn Abdul Barr in his Tamheed, and this is an example how Abdullah ibn Abbas used to read a verse, and its words are an ibn Abbas annahu kana yaqra kullama ada lahum mashaw fi marru fi sa'u fi. So again, a verse from Surah Baqarah, which actually reads "Kullama adha'a lahum mashawfi." So mashawfi would be that they would walk into it. So "Kullama adha'a lahum" would mean whenever they would be lit up or light would be shown upon them, mashawfi, they would walk in that light. So mashawfi was actually substituted by Ibn Abbas as sa'awfi and marrufi. Both are actually synonyms of mashawfi. Sa'a and marra, both are words which actually, according to this narrative, are synonyms of Ibn Abbas. And therefore, if he read this verse such that he substituted similar words, then it clearly shows that perhaps similar words could be substituted for one another. The third example, viewers, is cited by Abu Ubaid in his Fazail al-Quran. And this actually is evidenced by Ibn Abdul Barr, Zarkashi and Suyuti in support of this view. And this is actually an incident which is reported, and it says that an Abdullah ibn Masud aqra rajulan inna shajarat az-zaqum ta'amul athim faqala ar-rajul ta'amul yatim faraddaha falam yastaqim biha lisanuhu faqala atastati an taqula ta'amul fajir qala na'am qala faf'al. So Ibn Masud taught a person the verse, the famous verse of the Quran, Inna shajarat az-zaqum ta'amul athim. The person could not actually utter the word athim, and instead he substituted it with the word yatim, which is absolutely wrong and a blatant difference. There's no connection between the two. And Abdullah ibn Masud said that he then tried to teach the person once again, but his tongue was not able to pronounce it. At this, Ibn Masud said that, can you read Ta'amul Fajr? Because Ta'amul Asim and Ta'amul Fajr are exactly the same thing. Ta'amul Asim would be the food for the sinners, and Ta'amul Fajr would be also the food for the disobedient. So he said, yes. The person said, I can read the word Ta'amul Fajr. So he was actually able to read Asim. He was not able to read Asim, but he could substitute it by a similar word, which Abdullah ibn Masud himself suggested it. Can you read it as Ta'amul Fajr? And he said, okay, I can read it. And then Abdullah said, faf'al, do so. So therefore, this again is, if this is true, then we can clearly see that similar words are being suggested by an authority like Ibn Mas'ud to a person that if he cannot read the word, then he can just substitute it by another word. The fourth example, viewers, is presented by Tabari as evidence, and this is a hadith from the Musnad of Abu Ya'la, and this actually is how Anas ibn Malik actually read a particular verse. So it says, Anas ibn Malik qara hazil aya inna nashi'at al-layli hiya ashaddu wat'an wa aswabu qila. Faqala lahu rajulun innama naqrahuha wa aqwamu qila. So qila al-muzammil. Faqala inna aqwamu wa aswabu wa ahda wa ashbaha haza wahid. So it is said that Anas ibn Malik read the word inna nashiyat al-layli hiya ashaddu wat'an wa aswabu qila. So this is how he variantly read the Quran, the verse. A person told him that we actually read aqwamu as aswabu. It is not that it aswabu, but because we read, that person particularly said that we actually say aqwamu instead of aswabu. At this he said, Anas said, that aqwam and aswab and ahda and other similar words are the same. So when Anas actually read this verse and other people objected, and Anas replied, no, the word, although you have read it aqwam, but aswab and ahda and similarly other words which are of similar meaning can be substituted. So again, this has led people to believe that similarity of words was possible. In this regard, because the fifth example it is also cited by Tabari and by Ibn Abdul Barr as evidence, and this is a hadith from At-Tabarani Al-Mujib Al-Wasit, and its words are an al-Amash an Abi Wail an Abdullah qala sami'tu al-qurra fa wajadtuhum mutaqaribin faqra'u kama 'allimtum wa iyyakum wat-tanattu wal-ikhtilaf fa innama huwa ka qawli ahadikum halumma wa ta'al. Abdullah bin Mas'ud says, I heard the reciters and found that they were close to one another in their readings, so I said, read as you have been taught and stay away from disputes and excesses. These differences are much like halumma and ta'al. So again, it is like an example that he is presenting, that like halumma and ta'al, they are two similar words to connote the imperative word come. So if these differences are of similarity, then it is just like substituting one for the other, and therefore they should be allowed. So viewers, this is a summary, or perhaps a comprehensive summary, I could say, of the narratives and the asar sahaba which are presented in view or in support of this view that the Quran, when it is said that the seven ahruf hadith is interpreted in this way, then these are the ahadith and these are the asar which lend support to this view. Now let me present a summary of a critique on this, and I think the most comprehensive critique on this view has been presented by Imam Khuy, although others have also presented critiques like Imam Zurqani, but I am presenting Imam Khuy's critique because it is perhaps the most comprehensive in this regard, and we can also add similar things from others. So the first critique which Imam Khuy makes is that how is it possible that the Quran could be substituted by, similar word of the Quran could be substituted by another, because the Prophet himself had been stopped by the Quran that he cannot read or change the Quran in a different way. He has to exactly reproduce what has been revealed to him. And if the Prophet could not have the permission or had the authority to read the Quran in a different way or change a verse, how can this be granted to the rest of the people? So in this regard, Imam Khuy cites the famous Quranic verse of Surah Yunus, the 15th verse, and it says, وَإِذَا تُطْلَ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا إِئْتِ بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّلْهُ قُلْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي إِنْ يَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. Which means, and when our clear revelations are recited to them, those who entertain no hope of meeting us say to you, give us a different Quran or change it. So this is the part that needs to be understood. So they would say, change it. Tell them, this is what the Almighty is telling the Prophet, tell them that he must communicate this message to those people. Tell them it is not for me to change it of my own accord. I follow only what is revealed to me. For I fear if I disobey my Lord, the punishment If I disobey my Lord, the punishment of a fateful day will befall me, obviously, which is meant here. So Imam Khoury says that if the Prophet was forbidden to change any part of the Quran in any way, how can this view be entertained and people be allowed that they could substitute similar words? If the Prophet could not do it, how could the Sahaba or the rest of the people could do it? The second point that Imam Khoury says that it is evident from the variants of the seven Ahruf Hadith that the basic reason for revealing the Quran on seven Ahruf was to provide ease and facility. However, we can clearly see that providing this ease and facility led to such severe differences that ultimately Muslims started declaring one another as disbelievers, because this is what happened. If people were allowed to read the Quran on their own the way they would like to, but ultimately we can see clearly in the times of Usman, and this critique especially is on Tabri, because he's the person who says that this permission was revoked in the time of Usman. So Imam Khoury questions that what could be the divine wisdom behind this, because if this permission was granted and this permission was actually then misused and it became the source of a lot of dispute and rivalry between Muslims, then the Almighty could not have done this. So therefore, this is something which cannot be accepted. The third point view that he makes is that if people were able to read the Quran on one harf in the time of the Caliph Usman, because obviously when he would revoke all the remaining huruf and just one of them would remain, then he says that how could this have not been possible in the time of the Prophet himself, since the Arabs were an eloquent people. So it is strange that if people could read the Quran on just one harf in the time of the Caliph Usman, then this is all the more probable that they could have done so even in the time of the Prophet himself. The next point view that he raises is that if the Quran had allowed Muslims, or if the Prophet had allowed the Muslims to read the Quran, this is just like an argument in which he presupposes, although he has rejected the basic premise, but he says, okay, if the Prophet had given the permission that the Quran could be read variously by synonyms, even then, what authority did Usman radiallahu anhu have to revoke a permission which was granted to the Ummah by the Prophet himself? So he raises this question. And viewers, now also I would like to say that Tabri has actually answered a possible objection that can be raised on this view, because as you know that Tabri is one of the major proponents of this view. He says that if someone says that why are not the other six synonyms of a word written in the Quran, then the answer to this is that since they have been revoked, you only find one of them. And therefore, it's no longer an objection as far as he is concerned. So this, in a nutshell, viewer, is a summary of what basically Imam Khoury has positive, and it does carry a lot of weight. But next, I will now add some more points of criticism from my own self, which I think also arise on this particular interpretation. Now, in this regard, the first further critique that I think is invited on this narrative is, on this interpretation, is that if the Quran was being revealed such that it could be read with synonyms and one word could be substituted for the other, how is it possible that people like Abdullah ibn Masud, who was a person who had professed faith in the Meccan period, and how is a person who, like Abdullah Ubay ibn Ka'b, who although was not as old in faith as Abdullah ibn Masud, but still he was a very very close companion. He was also highly regarded by the Prophet to be a very famous reciter. How is it possible that these two people not know that the Quran was revealed on seven Ahruf? Because these seven Ahruf actually implied similar words. Because we can clearly see that Abdullah ibn Masud and Ubay ibn Ka'b, both of them are mentioned in narratives earlier on, and both of them were wonderstruck when they were told that the Quran could be read on similar meanings. The second point which comes to mind is that if it is accepted that the narrative of Umar and Hisham shows that synonyms were divinely sanctioned, then other narratives also contradict this. So if we can say that the synonyms were divinely sanctioned, then we have a different view regarding some of the others. For example, in one narrative, the Prophet is seen giving permission to Umar to read the Quran in any way as per his own opinion, as long as verses of punishment or verses of mercy are not substituted for verses of mercy. So here you can see that the divine sanction, which seems to be found in the Umar Hisham narrative, in which the Prophet himself ratified both, and said that both are these are, both of the these versions are correct. On the other hand, we find in this narrative which I just cited that the Prophet says it is okay to substitute similar words as long as there is not a blatant substitution which actually totally transforms the verse in its meaning, thereby saying that the verses of punishment should not end up being read as punishment of mercy. The third question which arises in my mind is, or the third critique, that if synonyms were needed divine revelation, then this would limit the ease that was meant to be provided to people. So if ease was the issue, then if each ease, for each ease provided, they had to seek the permission of the Prophet, as the Umar Hisham narrative seems to suggest, then actually there would be no ease, because if words had to be suggested, then the ease would have been that this instead of being suggested these words, people would be allowed to use whatever words that come to their mind as long as the meaning does not change. The fourth question, viewers, which comes to my mind is that this particular interpretation is unable to explain the variant which says that the seven ahraf were meant to provide ease to young people, to unlettered people, because substituting words could not have been of any use to them, because this could only have been benefited those tribes which were more specific in using synonyms. So how could this be interpreted that the old men and the old women and the unlettered and the young, because there's the narrative which says that this ease was provided on this basis. So how could substituting similar words for similar words could be something which can be envisaged as providing ease to them? So now let me also comment on some of the narratives which have been cited as and their chains of narration. Now, as far as the soundness of the chain of narration is concerned, all of these narratives, all those, I am not going to mention their chains of narration or criticize them at the moment, because once we complete this interpretations part, we have a very comprehensive discussion coming up on the isnad part. So I'll defer that. In particular. And furthermore, as far as the Asar are concerned, as far as the first four of them are concerned, which mention a Marian reading, we can obviously see that there's a very, very clear ring to this narrative that what perhaps the Sahaba were reading earlier on, they were actually not reading the Quran in a different way. They were perhaps only explaining that what a particular word means. So, when Anas ibn Malik or Abdullah ibn Masood or Ubay were reading, as earlier Asar have said, on a different way, then the synonym actually was not a reading of the Quran or not a vain reading of the Quran. We can easily understand that actually what they were doing is they were trying to explain to a possible questioner as to the meaning of the word itself. And as far as the fifth Asar is concerned, which I cited earlier on, I will look it up and I'll take it up in a more serious manner when the discussion on Isnad is to take place later on, inshallah. So, viewers, this completes our discussion on the sixth interpretation of this narrative. Inshallah, in the next session, we shall take a look at the seventh and final interpretation of the narrative and then some of the other related discussions before we go on to a very comprehensive discussion on the chains of narration of this narrative. As you may recall, in the earliest lecture I had said that this narrative is a very comprehensive narrative. It has been reported by many Sahaba. So we shall have a very, 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 very detailed discussion on all the variants of this narrative. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ